Hi, this is Jake Weatherly. Welcome, Mavericks, to February's Maverick 1000 Mindstorm call. I am going to count down here for the benefit of post-production. We have DJ Dave on recording, and I will do that, and we will go ahead and get started. So, 3, 2, 1. Welcome, Maverick 1000 members, to February's Maverick Mindstorm call. We're lucky enough to have an excellent internet marketing powerhouse with us, with more than a decade of experience in the space, all different niches, a really wide variety of areas of focus over the years, but all with just an incredible dedication and fantastic depth and breadth of expertise. And he is none other than Randy Schrock. So thank you so much, Randy, for being here. Let me introduce you with a little bit more detail so that people understand sort of the history behind what you've built and where you are today. We're going to be focused on how to get high on Google. This is a search engine optimization and search engine marketing focused call. But Randy has over a decade of experience, and he's built numerous highly successful online businesses. He was an overnight success starting in 2001 with his book, Secrets of a Millionaire Magician. At $197 each, he sold more than 500 copies of his first book, over $100,000 in sales within the first few months. And this was without a list and no advertising budget. So this was the early days of internet marketing and in the info marketing world. And Randy has since built quite an impressive variety of businesses, from buying and selling domains to what he's doing now in the search engine optimization and search engine marketing space. So with all these successes in between, and certainly a few failures, we're all entrepreneurs at Maverick, and we understand that the experience that is brought to the table from failures, these valuable lessons, are perhaps more important than a lot of the successes. But Randy's now deeply entrenched in the world of search engine optimization and search engine marketing. Randy lives in Vancouver. He's really well dialed into the business community there, as well as worldwide in the internet marketing world. If you're ever in Vancouver, definitely look Randy up. He's a great guy and has a lot of really deep and valuable connections in the area. Plus, he just knows Vancouver in and out. So, Randy, thanks a million for being here. I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to you to sort of take the introduction to the next level. And then we did receive a lot of questions leading up to the call. So I'm going to be moderating using some of the questions that we've received. But there are also a few ways that you can ask questions live. You can text me simply to my mobile number. That's 541-221-9504. You can also email Jake at maverickbusinessadventures.com. And then I also have Twitter open with a search on hashtag Maverick1000. So tweet with that hashtag. I'll see that come up on my dashboard. Shoot an email to Jake at maverickbusinessadventures.com. Or simply send me a text to 541-221-9504, and as we go, I'll integrate these questions into today's discussion. So, Randy, take it away.
All right. Thanks a lot, Jake. Hey, it's great to be here with my fellow Mavericks, and also I just want to spend like 1 minute here and give you my background in my words about a minute. In the past 10 years, oh, let me jump a little forward. Okay, I'm going to add 30 seconds. So I was a professional magician and speaker, entertainer for 20 years, from 1981 to 2001. 2001, with the book that Jake already mentioned, Millionaire Magician, was the first time I went online. Here's the interesting part and the funny part, I think, and I love knowing people's numbers, and you never really get to hear them, and sometimes when you do, you know, you just know whether they're true or not, and third-party sources. So here's the funny thing, and I'm going to admit something here. I didn't plan this. I was just thinking about it when you were talking, Jake. So in 10 years now, so it's been 10 years since I've been online marketing, and I've made about $10 million. not sold $10 million worth of stuff, but made about $10 million. And the funny part is, the first half of the 10 years, and I literally was just thinking about this now, I never really calculated this before, but the numbers are this. The first half, I made, in the first 5 years, about $5 million. And ironically, I did that by selling information products and how to make money on the internet, pretty much. Reselling rights to my courses and books on how to make money on the internet, that kind of stuff. Some turnkey biz op stuff, which, you know, I wasn't crazy about it. It was okay. But the bottom line is, it was stuff that I wasn't really doing internet marketing. I was selling opportunities and information. And then the last 5 years is the other way around. Then I actually really started doing it. So in a way, I don't know, I guess you could say I fake it till you make it, but I mean, I did have the real success of The Millionaire Magician, so it was all based on experience at the beginning, and then it was based on really just tinkering around with things, hearing the right information from the right people. It's not like I didn't do any of the stuff or completely faked it, but I literally was making like 90% of that $5 million or so was from selling the information as opposed to doing it. And now it's been the last 5 years, 100%. I haven't done any information. I haven't written a new book, put out a new course, sold any turnkey things, nothing for 5 years. So I completely reversed that. And one of the reasons I bring this up is to let you know that thanks for this opportunity, because I haven't done one of these things for over 5 years. I haven't spoken. I haven't done a teleseminar. I went out the gate speaking at every event and doing all sorts of these things like gangbusters. Again, it's kind of reversed. The whole thing usually would happen. You would think the first 5 years I would just be doing it and attending and struggling and all that kind of stuff. Maybe the next 5 years I would teach. Anyway, it was backwards. Now what I'm doing is focusing on more like business-to-business, that sort of thing, providing services through the search engine marketing stuff. And I really miss performing. I miss performing as a magician. I miss speaking on stage. I miss what I'm doing right now. I'm really enjoying this more than I even thought I would. And so I'm going to get back into doing some of this as well. It won't become my focus. It'll be part of what I do, so I have some balance. All right. So you came here to hear about, learn, and discuss search engine optimization and marketing and that sort of thing. Again, the first few years, I kind of thought, oh, yeah, I understand, like, search engine marketing, yeah, it sounds good, but it's a moving target, it's hard, I don't want to compete. Instead, I'll just do things, joint ventures, affiliate marketing, and I did all that stuff, and I probably, you know, gave myself a little less credit than I deserved during those 5 years. I actually, you know, did a lot of things, but I didn't care about search engines. In fact, I was first to say, I think I probably even said, or maybe even wrote in some of my material, that don't waste your time there. Now, I think the game has changed, and it's much more important, and I'm really enthusiastic. I love it. So I've really focused on the last 5 years on search engine optimization and marketing, mostly marketing and the difference. I'll explain some terms, and I'll give you some stats in a few seconds. And now it's something that, like, I'm into it every day, and I love it. It's really fun. It's, you know, a transition for me. So let me give you some stats, because there's all sorts of different numbers out there and people saying this and that and different opinions and who knows, and Google doesn't disclose everything, and, you know, ask 100 different SEOs about something, you can get 110 different answers. So let me give you some recent current information, which comes from reliable sources, like, you know, places online that I trust, and I've gone to maybe four or five different places over the last little while, and I just updated this morning to make sure it's, like, up to the minute, and then, you know, using my own information and knowledge and common sense and figuring out some stuff. Here's what I believe to be true, and I don't think you can really dispute this as far as what anybody else could know. They couldn't really have any better numbers than this, maybe even Google, because some of these things, how do you know for sure? So anyway, here's the thing. Search engine users, percentage of the search engines that are used by people. Round numbers, I did round them off a little bit. Google, 65% of searches are done on Google. Then Yahoo, around 16%. Bing, around 13%. So the other 5 or 6% are all the other search engines. So what does this mean? It means don't worry about any of the other search engines. You know, why bother? It also means, in my opinion, when I'm doing my SEO stuff, that I'm really going to focus on Google. And there are, you know, there's different terms of services and different ways that the different search engines rank. But I really think that, you know, Google, and this is obvious, Google is the clear leader. Yahoo and Bing follow. There was even something recently that where Google is claiming that Bing is using some of Google's search results themselves, and they admit that they do use other search results. They didn't admit to specifically using Google's. I did some of my tests myself, and I see that they certainly are. Bing has, you know, maybe in, you know, booking hotels and air, they're trying to be stronger, and in some cases they are. Yahoo searchers sometimes in certain verticals tend to be better buyers, like they're more consumer-type searches than Google. So you want to take these factors into place. But really, if you're going to be tracking and working on stuff, focus on Google. That's where most of the searches are. Now, there's a term called SERP, Search Engine Result Pages, and that's when you put in your keyword term, and you know, you see the first page. That's your first page of search engine results. The first link, first organic link, I mean the natural listing that comes up, not the paid ones on the top and on the right side, which get less traffic and less qualified traffic than the organic. And that's, by the way, why I don't think doing AdWords is a good long-term strategy for anybody. But anyway, the number one listing, organic, gets around 56% of the clicks. So the click-through ratio, the CTR, is 56% from, you know, from the landing page clicking to the site. The second 13%, the third listing, 9%. The fourth, fifth, sixth, around 3 to 4%, and then the rest share less than 1%. So unless you're in that top handful of results, organic results, you're not really going to get much traffic. So what does that mean? That means if you're not on the first page and you're not within the first few listings, then you might as well be anywhere or nowhere as far as that type of traffic goes. Now, there are some other factors, and us as marketers, we understand this, that we go beyond the numbers. If, for example, your listing is number 5 and on the page, and you have a better title tag, which we'll talk about a little bit later, it has a call to action, it's more interesting, and or they recognize your brand, you know, there's other factors, then maybe you're going to get clicked on instead of that first one by some of the people. So there are certain things you can do, and that's like the overall marketing strategy, but these are the numbers based on everything else being equal. All right, now, on-page versus off-page optimization. Again, my opinion, it's an opinion based on years of experience. I'm in this every day. I truly am into this for some reason. I never thought I would care, but I really do. I like it. So I think you can trust what I'm saying here. The on-page factors versus the off-page factors, as far as, you know, what's going to make you rank higher on Google. All right. So on-page, I would have said a few weeks ago, is about 10%, off-page about 90. There's been some recent changes to Google's algorithms, which makes me believe now that it's closer to 20%. So, and we'll talk about that in a moment too. So either way, 70, 80, 90%, a huge percentage of factors are based off of the page of the website. And that means links coming into your website, which we'll talk about as well. So it's important that you have, more important so than ever with the recent changes, it's important that you have content that's interesting, that it's unique, and then there's those other marketing factors, of course, that we know, calls to action and that sort of thing. And then we're talking about conversion on the page, which is something that, yeah, I know a lot about just through my own experience in marketing, but not the topic of search engine optimization for today. But those are things that we all want to think about. So really, though, putting that aside again, when you're just comparing, you know, a site A to site B, if you have a landing page with very little content and maybe some of it is repeated on other websites versus a unique, content-rich, useful website, you're going to rank higher than others, again, given everything else being equal, the same quality and number of links coming into the site, which, of course, isn't going to happen. But just so you know, it is important. It's maybe 20% is my estimate right now of importance on the page. And again, you have to take all the other marketing factors in place, and those are super, super important. So those are just like some of the stats that I wanted to share with you. And to summarize, Google's the most important one, Yahoo, Bing, next. The other ones, don't even worry about them. You want to be in those top few listings on the first page. Otherwise, you're kind of doing your efforts for nothing. You might as well be on page 100 if you're going to be on page 3. All right, so that's my little spiel.
That's a great overview, Randy. Thank you. And actually, some questions are already flying in related to that. I don't want to spend too much time on the overview because I know we have some really in-depth questions and aspects to dig into. But
right.
A couple that really stand out. Number one, the market share statistics that you shared and the relative newcomer Bing with a decent market share. Do you know, is that a result of eating into Yahoo's share, eating into Google's share, or what's sort of the landscape? And the real question therein is there an upward trajectory with Bing? Because it's pretty clear that Yahoo has a steady, although slow, downward trajectory.
Yeah, I don't have like a real solid answer for that. I'm thinking just based on not very recent information that I've read that Bing, there may be floating back and forth a percent or so. I wouldn't worry about it either way. I don't have a great answer for that one. I would just say I wouldn't be concerned. I wouldn't really care. I think MSN was Bing, and then it used to be right, and then Bing
right,
and Yahoo.
Sort of a rebranding.
Yeah, and Bing and Yahoo. They definitely share like I think in the paid advertisement. So there's there's some synergies there.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't even focus on the question or the answer to that question because
okay. So
the bottom line
no
is
hockey stick growth or anything to have
no.
front and center on the radar.
That I know there's not.
Okay.
No, for sure.
Then the other question that came in has to do with the evolution of industry focus. Where does and has the passion for search engine marketing come from? What got it on your radar? What sort of changed in the landscape to take you from someone who wasn't really interested to someone who's truly passionate about it today?
Okay, wow. Gee, now I really have to be, like, so upfront.
Yeah, these
and honest.
They ask the tough questions, huh?
Well, it's a tough question because I'm blushing. I don't have much of a filter and I'm an open book, so I'll answer it honestly. There was some shitty stuff written about me online a few years ago, and that's when I started caring. I had a few customers out of thousands that weren't happy, and I'm not going to say that I did anything that was deserving of it. There were circumstances, but still, it's there, right? And I knew enough to not go and argue with them and build on that. Instead, I just took care of things quietly. But yes, so it was that. It was more like reputation management. I was thinking, man, like it really hurt my feelings, and it was really one of the reasons why 5 years ago I decided, like, screw this. I'm not even going to offer things to people anymore. Not that I was like doing it totally just to be nice, and obviously I was doing it as a business to make money, and I obviously did well at it. But I just thought I don't really need to do this. I don't like it, and I'm just really sensitive. So I mean, if I have like 1 or 2% haters out there, that's enough. And major companies and really good people have that. You can't please everybody all the time, and when you have other people involved in situations, they mess stuff up for you and you get blamed or whatever. So there's the answer. That's the truth. Obviously, why would I make that up?
That's great. Yeah, I mean, from pain comes solutions, right?
Yeah, so I thought, okay, well, how do I manage it? So I actually, went to some places and got burned by them on trying to fix it up, and did a few of my own things and made some mistakes and made it worse. And then I thought, okay, like I'm gonna. I don't know. I just started actually thinking, actually, this is pretty cool. And then from there, just learned more about it. And then after that, for sort of doing that, having that on the back of my mind for a few years while I'm doing other stuff, and getting really good at it, and realizing, man, like I can really get great results
mm-hmm.
now. And I've weeded through all the crap, and there's tons of people out there who are offering, bullshit SEO services. I thought, well, I have a chance to do something good here, offer a really great service, give really good value, and it's fun. I don't know. It's interesting. It seems it's a bit of a cat and mouse game. And by the way, I go strictly white hat. I don't do anything even close to gray hat. Definitely not black hat. I know what they are. They're obvious to me that they're not going to have a good long-term effect. That kind of stuff. But looking into that, like seeing all these different sort of devious techniques to try to fool the search engines, is interesting to me, even though I wouldn't touch it. So I just like knowing about it. I don't know. I just kind of got into it.
That's great. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, what I'm hearing from you is a sense of accomplishment, and there's sort of the scientific aspect to it that's really rewarding.
Yeah, and an opportunity. You know, like the market is flooded with SEOs now, phoning and spamming and all sorts of things, trying to get people's business, and it's not a great market to get into for that reason. On the other hand, most of my clients are friends, and so they know and trust me, and they're not going to like give me money month after month if I'm not doing a good job, and I wouldn't take their business if I knew I couldn't do a good job. So I don't have to really worry about the overall competitiveness of the market. Having said that, I do, have thoughts and plans on rolling things out so they can be a little bit more mass marketed. Maybe I'll use some online media techniques to bring in some more business that will take less of my personal attention and less money for people to do it. They won't be able to get the best results. They'll get good results. But the bottom line is, if it's going to be something that's streamlined and mechanical and using tools and not as carefully done and there's not enough money thrown at it to do it, it's not going to be great. It'll be better than most of the rest, but it might not get them the results they want, and it's going to be really clear up front that that's the case if I do decide to offer that. You know, I'm talking like, a few $100 a month for a bunch of keywords type of thing. And so anyway, I've considered that, but then I'd be going into that same sort of market that other people are doing. I'd be giving better value, but it still wouldn't be like top. It's not something I would offer for friends. So I may never do it. I don't know. I mean, basically what I'm commenting on now is I saw an opportunity to do good work. I don't have to be super expensive to give outstanding results, but it's also not like the sort of cheapest on the block either.
Mm-hmm. But I'm also hearing you say that looking at the business model and introducing some scale maybe something on the horizon as well.
Maybe something on the horizon. I think it's going to be a challenge. I think I can do it, and if I can do it and get people value for money and decent results, then I will. What I'm concerned about is what I said at the beginning of this. Unless you're basically in that top handful on Google, for good keyword terms that are actually going to bring you traffic and business, then there's really no point doing it, and that's my concern. If I can't do that on scale, I just won't offer it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what's going to happen, the way it's going to be, is that there are certain like local verticals, local niches, wherever you are. to get some targeted keywords to get them really good results fairly cheaply, for like the boutique, like I live in an area called Shaughnessy in Vancouver, so Shaughnessy Coffee Shop, like it's really, local or...
Yeah, not a highly competitive keyword.
Exactly. Then it can be done cheaply and without, my personal attention, just put them into the system. So that might be something. It's definitely not what I'm focusing on now.
Understood.
Yeah.
A question came in, just point of clarification, on the Bing, Yahoo, Google. The question is, did you say not to focus on Yahoo and Bing and, in essence, solely focus on Google?
Well, here's the thing. Yes, I did. And as far as focusing on these things, what does that really mean? So that brings up a whole other question. And so what would you do differently? And really, there's not a lot you would
mm-hmm.
do differently. So I'm really talking more about this. So when you're looking at your results, and everything is really results driven here, it's real important that you monitor, track, and have clear, transparent reporting. So when you're looking at it, this is really what I mean. And you see that you've jumped up, to 50 spots on Bing and 60 on Yahoo, but only 3 on Google. Well, then big deal. It's not great.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I mean when I say focus. So So whatever you're doing, you know, Google's most of the traffic. That's really what counts. It's not going to change a lot in what you do in technique. And when you optimize and you're going up in Google, those other ones will follow suit. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because I'm not really saying that focus your efforts on that. You'll know you're winning, though, in a meaningful way, if your Google rankings are going up, as opposed to any of the others, including Yahoo and Bing.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah. Thanks for the clarification.
Well, that's okay. I clarified it for me, too. I'm glad you asked. I mean, I know it, and that's how I operate every day, but I'd never really articulated or thought about it that deeply.
Okay, so a question came in when you were talking about white hat, gray hat, black hat. We have quite a few mavericks who aren't internet marketers and aren't necessarily search engine savvy per se.
Oh yeah.
So can you just touch on those terms? Don't want to belabor it, but just to help everybody understand sort of the different techniques and what happens behind the curtain, if you will.
Yeah, that's a term can be used not just in SEO. By the way, SEO, search engine optimization, SEM, search engine marketing. Technically, I don't do SEO. I don't spend much time doing search engine optimization as far as optimizing the website. I do more of the marketing, but more people know about SEO. To answer your question, and the reason I brought that up is because the white hat, gray hat, black hat doesn't only apply to SEO, SEM, but to marketing in general. So white hat means that you're not breaking anybody's TOSs, terms of services, and you're going strictly by the book. You're not spamming, for example. And there's spamming, there's email spam, which we all know about. There's spamming web pages where you repeat a bunch of words. There's all sorts of ways. There's black hat. So black hat is the extreme. It's like it's crooked. It's maybe even illegal. It's definitely clearly not within the terms of services of the search engines or whoever you're trying to game. White hat is going 100% by the book. Gray hat is somewhere in between. And, of course, that shade of gray changes for different people. But the people who decide they're just going to go white hat, they know what it is. There's clear lines. So I'll give you an example in the SEO world. White hat to get an inbound link from a blog would be to go to a blog yourself or somebody who's working for you who understands the whole situation, being your business and the blog that they're on. So they go to another blog. They read what's being said on that blog. They reply with a thoughtful, meaningful response and link back to their own website, given that the blog allows that. That's white hat. That's just normal. And, that's what happens in nature. I mean, that's real. That's kind of what was intended. Gray hat would be, in my opinion, again, the gray hat is not as objective. So gray hat is you've got a bunch of outsourced workers, and you say, I want you to go to these blogs and write anything and post a link back to our site. Doesn't matter if there's any value to what you write or if the English is good. I don't care. I just want a link.
So it's really gaming the system.
I would say so, yeah, because you're not really adding any value. Now,
right.
If it's a good blog, it's going to get moderated and cut out anyway, which is also part of the point. When you do this kind of stuff, not only does it not really work, it's just you're wasting your time. Black hat, in that scenario, in that, this blogging example, would be using an automated system that goes out to blogs, all sorts of blogs, and just posts garbage on anywhere it can and with a link back.
Yeah, so, which all of us have seen with poorly moderated blogs.
Yeah, exactly. And so there you go. So that's the white, gray, and black. You can sort of spread those examples among all sorts of areas of SEO and marketing in general.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Okay, so you referred earlier to the recent change in the Google algorithm.
Yeah.
Were any of your client sites affected by that recent change?
They weren't, and let me clarify. I'm looking at my client sites right now. Let me just quickly look for five.
Okay, and I guess then the question is, if not, what type of linking were you doing for those not affected?
Yeah, okay, no, so actually what I was looking at, I know that it wasn't for any of them, but I was just actually counting how many clients I have, because basically I don't have enough clients to give a real good, data set. I only have
significant. Yeah,
okay. I'm literally looking at them. I only have around 22 clients, and now I just started. Just so you know, like I mean, I just started this business of doing it for other people a couple months ago, and these clients are fairly high value, and they're mostly friends. Anyway, the answer to the question is it hasn't. And let me just explain what that Google algorithm change was and how it relates. So it kind of relates to what I was saying at the beginning, how now on-page factors matter a little more than they did before. And that is because Google just recently, they went through, you know, they've probably been, well, they've obviously been aware of this and they cared about it and they have algorithms in place to seek out, you know, original content. That was the main thing. They're not looking at duplicate content. Like they're looking at it less favorably than they ever have. So they're looking for original content. They're looking for content on your website that provides value. And here's another thing. They have they put out something, a Chrome extension, mm-hmm. where people can actually block websites. Now they're saying that they haven't relied on that feedback, you know, for the block list data that they gathered from people literally being on their extension, their Chrome extension, mm-hmm. and saying, you know, I'm going to block this site. They're saying that they haven't, but they have.
Yeah, maybe they're sort of like a critical mass, or if enough people are blocking through the extension, then it at least gets attention, right?
Yeah, well, here's their official wording. If you take the top several dozen or so most blocked domains from the Chrome extension, okay, now it's their extension. They have this information, right?
Yeah.
Then this algorithmic change addresses 84% of them, which is strong independent confirmation of the user benefits. Anyway, they're backtracking a little bit. They are using that data. I don't know why they don't just admit it.
They're basically crowdsourcing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Which is fine. It's fair enough. I think what they're saying is they've had other research and reports and analysis and testing over the years, which of course they have, trying to get their computerized their spiders. Rather than so much human interaction to figure out is this a high quality and low quality site. So now what they're saying is they're taking that information and they've just verified it with the block list data. Who cares? Whatever. Bottom line is it's a good thing that they're doing it. They should be doing this, and however they can figure it out, good for them. They've written that it's noticeably impacted 11.8% of queries. So that's somewhat significant, and it's also somewhat insignificant. So I don't know. So 11.8% of queries are affected. And here's the thing. I mean, it goes back to the whole white hat, black hat thing. If you have a junk site with a bunch of duplicated, you know, regurgitated, spun content, then, first of all, anybody comes to your site, what are they going to do anyway? They're not going to convert into clients. There's no point. You probably have that site for another reason, and that reason might be to link to your money site. So here's where it matters. First of all, the on-page stuff, it's going to maybe matter a little more for some people, but if it's your main site, if it's your business, you're going to be taking care of it anyway. You're not going to have junk or duplicate content. What it really means is that you have to be even more and more astute and have a better understanding of where your links are coming in from. And if you are going to high-value sites that are relevant to your niche, and you're providing good content, then you know nothing's changed as far as that goes. So what they're doing is they're continuing their effort, which they should and always will, because their business depends on it, to clean up some of the crap out there, and have better results for people by not highly valuing sites that literally don't have high value. So that's all that matters. So, yeah, no, the sites that I'm working with, they're all, like, real sites with real content. So it didn't affect them at all.
Okay, great. So there's a question that came in about geography, working with clients outside of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, with a marketing company, this Maverick Shelby has a marketing company, Content Divas. A new hot point of conversation is if you are trying to rank clients who are out of the United States. Do you do things differently, or do you find that focusing on the geo-modified keywords is enough for Google to recognize it as, say, a UK company if their target market or audience is in the UK?
Okay, great question. Here's how that works. So as far as if I'm going to be, and I'm not right now, all my sites are .cas and .coms that I'm doing, but I am actually going to, for the first time in 5 years, as I mentioned before, I'm going to go speak, and I'm super excited. I'm going to London in April to speak at a web traffic event, and it'll be in London. So I have given a lot of thought to that and basically took the knowledge that's kind of been floating around about that and done my own tests and research. It's fairly common sense anyway. So here's the thing. If you have a .co.uk website or .asia or wherever you are, you want to have links that are coming into it from, and this accounts everywhere, but just think how it applies, from relevant sites with high value. So the strategy there would be to link in from other sites that are within that same top-level domain extension. Because and that's not always right. Because if it's a completely online and they serve the whole world their product, but they're in the UK, then it does kind of make sense that maybe some .coms or .cas would link to you. But it's going to make more sense that local ones do.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where the relevancy comes in. And again, just think again what would happen in real life. And this is like such a simple test, which I think most people don't do. Is that would it really make sense for your .co.uk website to have a lot of attention from sites outside of the UK? Now, I know there's lots of .coms in the UK. Here's the thing. Now, I have to transition into the second part of, or the other part of your question about the geo-targeting. Before I do, let me just make sure I'm clear on this. It's, in most cases, going to be better for your ranking to have websites that are within the same domain extension, especially if it's a country code that's used, linking to you, in most cases and generally speaking. Here's how the geo-targeting stuff comes in and this. Now, Google, and again, now back to the Google, Bing, Yahoo, and all the other little guys, another sort of mindset is just, you know, you were just talk about Google because it's just there's what matters. So again, it doesn't really change the strategy a lot, but just in this whole mindset, like who cares about the other one so much? So,
mm-hmm. No,
so that's why.
Yeah.
So with Google, what they do is they actually do pay attention to where the searcher physically is sitting based on their IP address. So they have an idea of, you know, they know I'm in Canada. They know I'm specifically in Vancouver. They know you're in Oregon, unless you've mapped your IP, which most people don't do. So they can tell where your location is. So if you are sitting in Oregon and you're searching something without a geo descriptor, so you're searching dry cleaner as opposed to dry cleaner Oregon,
mm-hmm.
Okay, and then you can just take this to the other question, Canada, London, or UK, United States, whatever, that targeter. So they're already going to take into account where you are. And so that has a big factor.
Yeah,
so,
what you see with the autocomplete in Google constantly. You start
right.
to type, and then it wants to add your geo term.
Exactly, because then it's doing that based on your IP.
Mm-hmm.
So the question then that Shelby had, by the way, Shelby, I've heard some great things about your service just recently even, which I'm happy to tell you about specifically later if you want to just call me or whatever.
Yeah, shout out to Content Divas. We love them.
Yeah. just recently somebody was saying how they handle somebody's webinars. They're doing a great job and all that. So the geo stuff, as far as the anchor text and like the, I think that might have been your original question, you know, like if your keywords have that geo targeted in them or not, you're going to get, if you can compete without them, you're going to get more traffic. It still will be fairly relevant because of the IP based tracking already that Google's doing. They're going to be harder to compete with. So these are all kind of factors. I'm sorry, I probably didn't give a real clear, concise answer to that question.
I think you touched on a lot of the various, you know, it's a complex question with a complex answer. You touched on a lot of the various aspects that contribute to it.
Yeah, and SEO is really complex, and I'm a very simple person, and I think that's one of the reasons I've been attracted to this, too. Not only how I originally got into it, which I already talked about, which is a bit of a sore subject, but it's more like this is a challenge for me because I'm really simple. I'm like pretty black and white, straightforward, and to take things as they come and this sort of thing, and don't like a lot of details. But with the SEO stuff, for some reason, I get turned on by by the intricacy of it all. Anyway.
Cool. Okay, so to right to the heart of it, Tim Storm had a great question, and really, again, just right to the center of the beast here. What's a great link building strategy toward kicking ass in Q4? And when do we start it relative to getting our content and on page right?
Okay, when do we start it by getting our content? Okay, I understand. Okay, so,
yeah, so like
you,
once
okay,
the content
yeah,
and on page is there, yeah. So when
yeah,
you actually
you start now.
Link building. Okay.
Yeah. So start now, because I don't think I know anybody, including myself, that isn't continually changing their website, and you've all heard it a million times. Oh yeah, what's your web address? Oh, it's this, but I'm changing it. It's going to be different, right? I mean, I've said it and heard it a million times, and it's always so. Forget about that. Just get started with the link building now, because as long as your URL, your domain address, and the other addresses, your sub addresses, and all that kind of stuff, if your link structure isn't going to change on your website, then you can still throw links towards, and I shouldn't say throw, you should still, direct good links, good quality links with good content behind them from good sites that are relevant towards your website starting today. Now, kick-ass strategy is, again, keep coming back and ask your question, is this normal? Would it make sense for all of a sudden there to be, like, from zero, 100 articles out there pointing to your site overnight and all these different links? Well, maybe, yeah, because all of a sudden you decided to promote it. But can that be maybe construed through a spider that Google sends out as, I wonder if they're gaming us. I wonder if this isn't normal. Who's writing these articles? Why are they writing them? So you're immediately going to get a jump until they go back and have a look, and maybe you've screwed up on a couple areas, and then it's going to hurt you. So go slow, start off slow, and do what would happen normally. Normally, you wouldn't be able to pump out 100 articles unless you had a whole team working for you. And if you're doing that, okay, maybe it's okay, maybe it's legit, but in most cases it's not, and that's what they're going to look at. So I would say start now, start slow, check your rankings, see that you're building, and ramp it up gradually over time as far as linking in. Specifically, different ways to link in. I mentioned the blog example, and then now I just talked about articles. So there, if you go and write one blog post on a blog and you have a link in, you have one link in, and that's great. If you submit a really good article, like really great content with a link back to you, and you submit it to one of the better article submission websites like ezinearticles.com, it's one of the best. They have a page rank of 6, and I'm going to talk about page rank in a minute too, if we have a chance, and if you remind me, and if I forget, let me know. So now what's going to happen is not only do you submit it to their site, but if it really is really great content, which you couldn't probably have 100 of them overnight, again, it doesn't happen normally, right? And Google's super smart. They know that. But you get this one out there. Now you have a great content article. You get your link back. And the rules of the game for people who go to using articles looking for content for their website are they can take it, but they have to keep your link intact. So they're going to say, yeah, this is really good information. I want to put it on my site. So you now exponentially grow the number of links from a variety of sites naturally from these other sites who are going to place your article on their page. Now, are they less likely to put the article on their page now because of the recent publicity from Google's algorithm change that you shouldn't have duplicate content? No, it's not going to hurt them. It's not necessarily going to help them as far as, hey, there's a lot of good content there, because they'll really, Google will sort of see where it appeared first and count that. They won't really necessarily disqualify you. What it will do is it'll give their users some content, some value. And that's going to help their site, because that's the whole purpose of a website, isn't it? To provide value to the people who are going there and nothing else in one way or another, either information or something, product, offering, something of value. So it's a really high-value proposition, and that's the best way to do it, is get the articles. So blog posting, articles, press releases, same idea as the articles. Okay, so I hope that answers your question, Tim.
Yeah, great. Thank you.
Let me talk about PageRank because
let's jump right into it.
Here's a funny thing.
Oh, and actually, if you don't mind, Randy, just before we do, I think we do have some people who joined a little bit later. Questions, email to jake@maverickbusinessadventures.com. Twitter, hashtag Maverick1000. And my direct mobile, 541-221-9504. Shoot me text messages, tweet, and emails, and we'll integrate your questions as best we can.
Okay, cool. So here's like PageRank, also known as PR. That is basically that's from a scale from 0 to 10 of what Google thinks of your website. How valuable do they think it is to the public? So here's a funny, just kind of interesting thing. You would think page refers to web page, right? But it actually refers to Larry Page, you know, one of the founders of Google. But just a little trivia. So your page rank, if it's 0, it's not good. If it's 10, it's amazing. Very, very few sites have a 10. 6 is really good. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, good. And so Easy and Articles itself has a page rank of 6. Now, here's where, again, it gets intricate. And most SEOs don't even know this. And this is so important. Every single page within the site has its own page rank. So maybe the index page is a 6. And let's say somebody says, okay, I'm going to sell you a link, and you shouldn't buy links, by the way, because that's black hat. Some people may say it's gray, but it's not. It's against the terms of services of Google, so it's black. Simple. So anyway, they're going to say, look, I've got a PR6 website, and I'm going to, you know, for $10 a month or $100 a month or $1,000 a day or whatever it is, I'm going to link to your site. Oh, PR6, yeah, I hear that sounds pretty good. Okay, but yeah, maybe their site is a PR6, their index page, their home page, but they might be linking from a page that has a PR0 or 2 or 3. Not only that, but depending on how many links they have coming from that page, it gets divided. So you're getting a percentage of the value of that page. Most people don't understand this. Even a lot of SEOers, they really don't know that. And I didn't know that right up until about a year or so ago. I mean, it's really like this is the kind of stuff. This is where you can get hosed, and it's where, you know, full transparency is crucial, and asking the good questions when you're dealing with SEO companies, and having this kind of information. Like that's how deep you need to go. And that's why, actually, I think there is a market for people like me out there, too, to have business where, you know, how many people could go that deep and figure that out? And it's super important. And it's why a lot of people are puzzled why they're not getting, you know, increased rankings in the search engines because they don't know this, and the people they're buying from may not even know it. So it might not even be intentionally they're trying to get you. They just don't know themselves. Let me tell you about more about PageRank and the difference between these different numbers. I've got some stats here. I'm just going to just try to find so I can give you rather than just guess. And it's based on, you know, if you think is, okay, here it is. So it's estimated, and again, this information that I get, it's I don't trust just any information. I trust Matt Cutts from Google. He's a great person to follow and listen. I basically, you know, the right from the source is a good way, even though there's a little bit funny in how they word things sometimes, just to read between the lines. And they admittedly won't tell you everything. They say there's about 200,000 different factors in ranking, and they come right out and say, we're not going to tell you what they all are. And so they shouldn't, so that's fine. But by reverse engineering and testing and that sort of thing, you can figure it out. But anyway, so it's all estimates. It's estimated that a single page rank 6 link is equivalent to how many, Jake, do you think, of page rank 3? So how many page rank 3s equal one page rank 6? Page rank 6, what's your guess?
I guess what if we take that ratio, what?
That would be 2 to 18, 1, wouldn't it?
3?
Yeah, I guess it depends on how you look at it. So,
yeah.
What were you going to say, though? So a page rank 6 versus a page rank 3, if you had a choice, you could have one page rank 6,
or how many page rank 3 sites?
Another way to word it, yeah. What
yeah,
would you choose?
Okay. I guess I'd rather have one PR6 site.
No, but then how many PR3?
Oh, how many PR3 sites would I want it to be equivalent?
Yeah, exactly.
Boy, I don't know. Let's say, well, I guess three.
Okay, and you know what? That's like a good answer. It makes sense. It's logical, but it's way off. And that's obviously, when I'm not trying to make you feel anything. I mean, I would have said the same thing if I didn't have this information. And through doing this day in and day out,
and by the way, Maverick, this wasn't rehearsed or planned.
You know,
that was
like,
really that dumb of an answer. No, I'm kidding.
No, it wasn't.
I know.
It wasn't.
Kidding,
it was. It's what I would guess that most people would think. And it's logically, it kind of, you know, makes sense if you just do simple math. But it's not simple math. And this is how important it is to understand why you want to, you know, first of all, if you're going to get serious about doing this stuff yourself, or especially if you're going to offer it to other people, you need to know this. So a PageRank 6 is equivalent to 125 PageRank 3 links.
Whoa.
Yeah. And a PageRank 7 is worth 625 PageRank 3 links.
Wow.
So now, what would make more sense? Going out and saying, I want 1,000 links or 10,000 links from, you know, page rank, you know, 2 to 4, which would be a good thing, by the way. Or I want 12 links from a page rank 7.
Yeah, like certainly the PR7 strategy.
Yeah, exactly. So that's why you
also,
don't
if you
yeah.
don't mind me interrupting, this also then begs the question, and I know that you're an expert in this space with real history here. You know, acquiring a web property, acquiring a domain with a good page rank versus trying to build it from scratch.
Yeah, but just be careful because there's a lot of people, and I actually got burned myself on this one. I won't mention his name, although I should, but it's somebody in the internet marketing world, I literally bought a bunch of domains from him with high page rank, and I didn't know better, and this was 5-6 years ago, that the page ranks were faked. So it's easy to even to fake page ranks, and there's a lot of things that can be faked. So you want to be able to know that it's for real, and you can do some simple tests to figure that out. And it's probably a little bit not as simple to just explain it right now, but just reach me personally if you ever want to do some due diligence in that area. Anybody, I'm happy to help you and point you in the right direction. But to answer your question, yeah, if you get like an aged domain that has a high PR, a couple of things. Not only do you want to see whether it's faked or not, you want to see if Wayback, I think it's Wayback.org or something like that.
The Wayback Machine.
Yeah. See what was there before, see what's there now, see if it's changed a lot, check inbound links. A good place, there's a good use for Yahoo is if you go to Yahoo search engine, it actually does show better and more results than Google or any of the other search engines if you want to check backlinks. So you go link, colon, and then the website in the Yahoo.com search engine, search request box, and then it'll show you who's backlinking to that domain.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's, you know, other ways then to see how valuable those backlinks are and find out whether maybe that PR is temporary or not, that sort of thing. But, yeah, it's a good strategy, but those domains typically are very expensive as well. And here's the really important thing. Going back to what I first said, that let's say 80% of what matters is off the page. So it's actually more important to have high page rank pages linking to you than having a high page rank site. Again, because it's really 80% of the battle is off page and not on the page.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
John Butt from the UK, johnonfire.com, that's JONONFIRE.com, a great guy. Got to spend some time with him in October at the covert ops trip. He wanted to add a little bit of color to the Yahoo Bing search engine issue. So he says Yahoo now uses Bing's search engine, so the results are the same. Therefore, you can add the results together in essence. And in the UK, Yahoo will be shutting down its search engine in May or June, and they're going to start using Bing there as well. They've laid off virtually all of their UK staff. So just a little interesting tidbit, both from the UK perspective and then big picture as well from John. Thanks for that.
Yeah, cool. Thanks. And yeah, that's interesting stuff. And again, you know, the leader is Google, and you know, the other guys are just trying really hard, and wouldn't worry about them too much. I actually, like, for some of my clients, I track other than Google. Here's what I do when I'm tracking, by the way. So depending on the client, if they're like me and they just really just want the bottom line and they want to be able to look at a real clear report and see easily where they're standing, I'll just put, and if they're in the States, I'll just track Google.com. That's it. Now, if they're here in Canada, I'll track Google.ca and Google.com. I'll always track Google.com. If they're one of those analytics, they kind of want to know everything, and you know, I can impress them extra by showing that they've moved up in Bing and Yahoo. Who cares? But I know that's going to impress them, and it'll just make my life easier. So I'll throw that in the search engine results. It doesn't affect anything I'm going to do. Now, if I have clients in the UK, obviously I'll track the dot Google.co.uk as well as .com. So that sort of thing, yeah, it's interesting. But you know, I'm just looking right now based on that new information. I'm always learning too. So I'm looking at one particular client's website, and I'm just comparing the Bing and the Yahoo rank results. And yes, they are identical for the client. And here's a client, for example, that he wanted to go for grad dresses, and he wanted me to do this in time for like now to get him ranked from almost nowhere. To get high like during this time, and so I got him, like, basically he was off the chart, and he's number two on Google. He's one of these guys. I'm tracking the other ones. He's three on Bing, three on Yahoo, and I have one where it really counts is Google.ca, because he's a local fashion woman's fashion store. So really, like, the Bing, Yahoo, and the different extensions matter more to me in the tracking than anything else. But good, thanks for that.
Okay, so a question from Dory Friend. First, welcome, Dory. Dory is a new maverick, NitroSEO.com, so someone who I think would be great to collaborate with, Randy. You guys have a lot of value that you could offer one another, and there's a strong potential partnership there.
Sure.
Dory wanted to get a list of the tools and services you use and for what. So getting kind of tactical here, recommendations in terms of resources and tools and where they fit into this pretty complex puzzle that we're talking about today.
Okay, sure. I don't use a lot. I mean, I've been through a lot, and it really boils down to very little. Let me give you a couple that are free and good, and I'll tell you what I use. So as far as checking, when you want to check how many searches, because here's what's important about searching. You want to know how many searches there are, whether the keyword itself is a buying, has good buying intent, and what the competition is for that keyword. So you can see, you can then get a KEI, which is a keyword efficiency index, and you can compare it to other KEIs on different terms and say, okay, well, this one has high searches, low competition, that's good. It's going to be better than high searches, high competition, or low searches, low competition, and even way better than low searches, high competition. But the low searches you probably wouldn't go after anyway. So the first thing you want to do is you want to figure out, what are the keywords? So you need some, there's all sorts of good keyword tools out there. I'm sort of going back and forth here. The keyword tools, the free ones, I'm sure there's lots out there, but I'll tell you what I use. There is a free version of this. And it's very common among marketers, and it's cheap and it's good. It's Market Samurai. It's a really good keyword tool. It will actually help you figure out keywords, and I'm not sure what the limitations are on the free one, but go grab a free one, try it out, and then upgrade. It's like $100 or something. And then it'll tell you, it'll actually reach into what I started to say, which was the free search estimation tool is, if you just Google Google keyword external tool, that'll take you to a free tool that's available to everybody. And it's really where a lot of the data is coming from on the number of searches, even from paid ones and free versions of like Market Samurai. They're digging in for that. But then when you're using these other softwares, then it figures out KEI for you and that sort of thing, and that's the advantage. But if you just want to get an idea of how many searches there are, and sometimes I'll go there, but usually not because my software has it built in. I use some other software, too, that I'll tell you about. You can just go quickly find out, is this worth going after? How many searches are there? So the tool that I'm going to recommend for you to figure out your keywords, to check the search volume without having to go to the external keyword tool and sort of seeing a whole bunch of information at once, checking out competition, all sorts of things, is Market Samurai. Is it what I use? No. I mean, I have used it. I used it initially. I looked at it a couple of days ago, just I wanted to cross-reference something. I highly recommend it. It's maybe almost as good as what I use, but what I use is something else. It's more of a suite of tools, and it allows me to do a lot of other things. And that's at, let me see, it's called the SEO Power Suite. It's not cheap, and you have to do monthly, pay monthly to keep it going, and it's way overkill for most people. So that's why I'm not necessarily going to recommend it for most people. The other thing I mentioned, Yahoo to find inbound links is a good tool that you can use because that's good information to have. As far as tools and resources, 99articles.com is a resource where they'll write articles for you, and they're pretty good.
From 99 Designs, right? Yeah.
No, not Matt.
Oh, no.
99 Cent. Let me find the exact link here.
Oh, okay.
You're thinking 99 Designs, which is a place where you can go get like logos.
Yeah, I wondered if you spun off an article creation.
No. Let's see. It's 99centarticles.com. And they're not 99 cents, but... and it's 99, the number, and then C-E-N-T. Sorry, not plural either. It's singular. 99centarticles, that part's plural, .com. Anyway, that's a place where you can get it. Maybe, I don't know if Shelby offers that kind of stuff, but hers would probably be better and not as cheap. But it's a place where you can get decent articles. And you might want to go in and edit them and bring them up. So that's a resource I use. As far as tools, man, I really don't use a lot. I mean, that's about it. And Market Samurai is all most people would need if they're just doing it for themselves, because really you just need to figure out your keywords, see if it's worth going after, and see if you figure you can compete with it.
Yeah, and then dial in a strategy, right?
Dialing in the strategy is a big part of knowing where to go and when and how to do it. You know, linking strategies as far as anchor text and variations on that, and looking deeper at, you know, where you're going. So there's a ton to it, and that's why one of the reasons I know we couldn't cover it on the course. I mean, on the call today. So that's why I'm giving access, which goes into great detail and actually lists more of the stuff that I do in greater detail in my course, and that's for free for everybody who's actually on the call right now. And that way it makes up for any lack of details during the call.
Awesome. Okay, so one more question from Dory. We have had a lot of questions come in. We're just past the top of the hour. Want to make sure that I use everybody's time wisely here and that we don't go over. So we'll get this question or the answer to this question in from Randy, and then Randy has more to talk about in terms of the course that he just referred to and some of the other things that he's generously offering up to Maverick specifically. So the question is, it's a scenario, and I don't know with the number of clients that you have and the amount of time that you've been providing this service outside of, you know, doing it yourself so successfully, but have you run into this, and if so, what do you do? So the question is, what do you do when a client drops 100 spots or so? So just all of a sudden, you go in, you check, and they've just fallen to the bottom.
Well, it would never happen. I'll tell you why. I look at. Not only do I work on every client's campaign every day, and part of that work is seeing where they're at. So, no one's ever going to drop 100 spots in 24 hours.
Yeah, so it'd take lack of management for them to go down that far, because it basically would mean that you're not checking in.
Exactly. So that's not going to happen. Not on my watch. You know.
What if they come to you and that's their pain point?
Okay. I would figure out, I'd figure out what happened.
Uh-huh.
And then I'd have to develop a strategy, for that. And the strategy would involve probably a gradual building up of links. I'd have to see what went wrong. I mean, maybe they got blacklisted. If it's something that extreme, that's 10 pages. If they lost 100 spots. So that's really extreme. That means that they got like hit. They got delisted or something. But maybe it happened over a long period of time because they were neglectful. Um, so So at one point they were somewhere. Yeah, I'd have to figure out what happened. So well, the way I would do that, and here's what you do, is you look at who's in front of you, and you find out, okay, and through reverse engineering, I figure out all the spots before them, where are they getting their links from, how many do they have, how good are they, and I can literally go and find everyone. I use different software for that, but again, the free way, quick way, for most people is fine, just go to Yahoo and do the link colon and then the search result. But I use part of my Power Suite of tools to figure all that stuff out. So I would say, okay, who's beating them, and then what do we have to do to beat that person? Doesn't mean we need to just, you know, one PR5 more than them. Maybe, and it's not that cut and dry, but perhaps if that's what I see, then I'm going to say, all right, well, then here's where we have to get to. Here's how long it, here's the minimum amount of time it can take. Here's the most it should take, and here's what it's going to cost to do it. And it may mean just a few links. It may mean a few hundred. So I would have to figure out who's beating them and why and exactly how.
Okay.
Does that answer the question?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think that really part of the answer is it's very specific to the individual situation.
It is, and it shouldn't happen. If you have a professional dealing with you, it's not going to happen. If you're doing it yourself or you know, whatever, or somebody who isn't, you know, who's charging you but not really doing something, then it could happen. You know, chances are it's not going to lose 100 spots. But if it loses, if I see anybody, like I'm weird about it. Like if I see anybody down, that is my client, that they've even gone down one, then I'm going to throw a few extra links that day on their site, to their site,
mm-hmm.
right away, because that bothers me. Because what I do in my very transparent reporting is I track every single day. Not only do I look, but I track it, and it's on the report for my client.
Hmm.
So they don't want to see a down arrow. Even if the end of the month it's up, I don't know. I mean, yeah, it is going to fluctuate, and I can't control it. Nobody can. But if I'm doing my job right, it's going to be a progressive upward slide. There might be some dips, and you know sometimes there are, but it's not going to be more than one or two spots. And I'm going to work extra hard to get it up there, the next day type of thing. And now when I say that, by the way, it's not a minute-to-minute thing because the algorithms, the spiders go out not necessarily every day to every website, so it may take a little while to catch up. But as long as you're on top of it on a daily basis, you're not going to ever have anywhere near a 100-point drop.
Okay, perfect. Okay, so a bunch of different Mavericks have asked this question or these questions, and they're also a perfect segue into the course that you've put together and the bonus for Mavericks who are on the call, and then also for those who listen to the archive, which, by the way, to everybody on the call, this is being recorded. Everything's archived on the members' site, www.maverick1000.net. If you haven't logged in there yet, check it out. All of these calls, all of the newsletters, a ton of resources, recommended books from Yannick and some others. So that's my plug for the member site. Spend some time there. Plus the electronic directory of Mavericks for the first time we have available there with, you know, personal contact information, business description, profile, et cetera. So we're really excited about that. But the question that's come in from several people is, or two questions. First, can you describe your ideal customer? And then I think it perfectly leads into what exactly does your service consist of, and can you tell us about cost structure?
Oh, sure. Okay, so ideal customer for me personally, not necessarily for the future of the business, again, if I figure a way that I can offer fairly cheap services for some keywords and that sort of thing, then it'll be different. But for me right now, somebody who's spending like $1,000 to $5,000, which is where pretty much all of my customers are. So it's enough where I can give them some meaningful results that it's worth my time. People who, it matters to me that it matters to them. And of course it matters to them to some extent or they wouldn't bother, you know, with the service. But if I get good questions from them and they get it, and their questions are helping me grow and learn too and improve their campaign, then I love that. And I do have clients like that. There's one in particular. If I think of my ideal client, His name is Daniel. I spoke with him this morning. He doesn't call me every day. We speak about once a week, sometimes for 5 minutes, sometimes for an hour. And he's not a marketing guy. He's not an SEO guy. He has two different sites I'm working. He has a spa distribution, like hot tubs, and then he's got a landscaping company. And he's great. He calls, and he's got, you know, stuff, just quick questions here and there and some observations. And when we first figured out his keywords, he helped me help him. I like that a lot because it helps me grow, and then it makes me want to work hard for that person. A person who doesn't contact me at all, they just, you know, pay every month and get the reports and I don't hear from them, I'm okay with that. I know I'm doing a good job. It's fine. No news is good news. I would say the first scenario is the ideal one because I really get a kick out of it. I like it. A bad one might be somebody who's, and I don't have any like this because they're all people I know, friends, and there's a couple clients that came in just that I didn't know before that are referrals, and so far they're sort of the same as my friends. But a bad one would maybe be, I don't know, that wasn't actually part of the question, but look at opposites, right? So a not ideal one, I guess, would be one who's kind of suspicious or wondering or just being an idiot and asking stupid questions all day long, but I'm not going to have any like that.
you have a better filter up front than to take on somebody like that, right?
Yeah, I do. I didn't originally actually, I actually thought I would kind of cookie cut this business and make it scalable and not deal personally in the business. Just I would just work on the business and just go at that. And I actually tried that for the first month, and I had somebody cold calling and doing that and setting up appointments, and it sucked. There is a way to do it, again, but it's more like by probably media buys and having offers that people can just click and buy, and they're not super expensive. And again, that's maybe in the future if I could figure it out, which I'm sure I will. But anyway, right now my ideal client is a real client with a real website who can really benefit from the service and who's going to have, not too much, but a little bit of interaction back and forth. Now, it doesn't make sense for anybody to do this if they don't have a site that can make them money, that's converting. And so, again, an ideal client is somebody with the right site, because then they're going to keep being a client for me. I can get them, number one, get them lots of traffic, but if their site doesn't convert, what was the point? If they're spending that, it's not just a dollar reason, but if they're spending a couple thousand, like Daniel spends $4,000 with me, for example, and he's talking now about bumping it up, and I told him to hold off because we just started like 6 weeks ago. I got him some really good results, but I said, let's just wait a little bit. We don't have to do it now. And he agreed. And there was a couple other reasons I wanted to do that, so I won't get into right now. But anyway, the way I charge for my services, I charge a $250 setup, and that's like a real setup. It's not just like just to charge a setup fee. It's because that covers all the exploration time of figuring out the right keywords, and even once the keywords are figured out, mapping out the plan. So, right now I'm basically creative director of the company. I figure out what sort of content is going to go where and when, and all sorts of other things. What are the right verticals to do this? That's why I normally charge $250, which is actually cheap for that, but I couldn't really charge more. It just wouldn't make sense, I think, for most people. Then I charge $500 a month for a campaign. Now, a campaign is one keyword or keyword phrase, when I say campaign, it's a certain amount of effort that will go towards that. It's like $500 a month worth of effort, and not just my time. I've leveraged my time. If we worked it out per hour and how much time I spend on these things, I'd be way undercharging at that. But I do have ways. I do have a couple employees. I have somebody sitting in my office right now, like in my office next door to me, who's writing on blogs and stuff like that. I do outsource some stuff. So I have some leverage. But I'm on top of everything, and I'm managing the campaign. So it's like $500 worth of work. That's why I say it's not really necessarily – it could be $500 worth of per keyword, and that's the simplest way to look at it. But if somebody has a highly competitive keyword and they're in a hurry and they have $5,000 to spend, then – they might want to throw 10 campaigns at one keyword. But for most people, one campaign is enough. So just to keep it simple, say like 500 a keyword. Again, that's for most people. And that's per month. I don't lock in anybody into any contracts. It's month to month. I put them on a PayPal subscription. They can cancel any time. They automatically get their report sent to them at the beginning of each month. which tracks every single day. It's real simple for them to see. If they're not happy ever, if somebody wasn't happy, I would, for even for the previous month, and I don't see this happening, not when I'm doing it so custom personally right now, if they wanted their money back, I would just give them their money back. Not an issue, and then obviously they would just cancel the subscription. So I'm not really a believer in locking people into contracts. And it goes the other way, too. If they're a pain in the ass, which I don't see that happening now, I reserve the right to say I can't do this for you anymore. So that's it, basically. $250 setup, then $500, let's say, a keyword per month. Now, the offer for Mavericks who are listening to this right now, I'll waive the setup fee, and I will do a campaign keyword for $400 or three for $1,000, and then $300 for each additional. So it's just to keep it simple, because it's rare circumstances where you'd have to do more than one campaign, especially out the gate. So $400 for a keyword per month, three for $1,000, and if you do three for $1,000, then any more additional to that is add $300 per keyword.
Setup. That's great.
Yeah, no setup fee. So what I want to do is I want to offer this I need to limit the amount of time that's available for the people, and I'm doing that not for the normal create urgency and all that kind of stuff, reasons why we put them in sales letters and offers. It's because I truly don't want to necessarily be committed to this really much beyond this call, because I don't know what direction things are going to go, whether I'm going to have time to do it or if I'm going to want to. This is me personally doing it. I don't know that I'll be personally doing this in 6 months from now, but I will, and that's why I'll take this now, and if I start a campaign, I'll finish it every month. So that's why I don't want, you know, even a month or two later from now to have to honor this. So what I'm going to do, and I don't need anybody to decide right this second either, but let's give till the end of the month. So it's February 25th. That really only, it's a short month, but next week, the 28th, if I hear from you and we can, if we get it set up and organized before the end of the day of the 28th, I'll honor that. For anybody listening to this right now, and it's already after February 28th, then, you know, any time for any of my services, whether it's me personally or if it's stuff that I put out that will be a little bit more volume-based, if I put it out, it's going to be good. It won't be as good as me doing it personally. It'll be cheaper, though, but it's not going to be crap. 10%, and it doesn't sound like a lot, and even maybe my initial offer doesn't sound like a lot, but there's not a lot of, you know, movement here available for me to do the work. So I would just give 10% off my services to any Maverick any time. But the deal.
Yeah, don't sell yourself short, Randy. I think that's great. It's super valuable.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Now, as far as my course goes, I'm happy to give 100% free access to anybody who's on the call right now. And basically, you know, maybe you can't get to your computer right now. So, you know, also do this by the 28th. Just email me, randy@rankmasters.com, and just say, hey, give me access to your course. And I'll reply and I'll show you where to log in, and then I'll have to manually approve, and then you'll have access. The course is online. There's four modules, four lessons in each, so 16 different lessons. And it covers a lot of what we talked about today and a lot more, and lists all sorts of detailed services. Please, I'm happy to talk to fellow Mavericks and answer quick questions, but if it's something I'm already covered in the course, I'm not going to necessarily want to answer it. Just go to, if I'm giving you access, just go look at the course, because I've pretty well covered a lot. I don't want to sound like a dick or say don't contact me and ask me questions, but have a look at the course before you start randomly asking me any questions, please. I'd appreciate that. And so that's for people who are listening right now. Again, till February 28th. After that, I don't really want to have to be bothered to think about it, but I'm happy to do it between now and then to do that, because I personally have to take the time to set you up there and approve you and give you access to the course. I hope that sounds okay.
Yeah, that's great. And Randy, you and I talked before the call, and let me just share with the rest of the audience that
sure.
You know, you're only a few months in. You're getting a lot of traction with really high quality customers, and the trajectory is you know, really quickly up for you in terms of building this business. So this is definitely, you know, early opportunity, and I totally understand where you're coming from, because this is, you know, this is building quickly, and it's about quality. So, you know, much appreciated.
Yeah, sure, thanks. And I'll just say, I mean, I wasn't looking to create myself a job. I mean, I actually, here's another number I don't mind sharing. I actually have to make $1 million a year just for my personal lifestyle. I have 4 kids in private school. I just bought a mansion. It's like $8 million. My wife is unrealistically has high taste. All sorts of things. So I need to make that, because after expenses and after taxes and all that, you know, my personal net is about $50,000 a month, which is crazy, but it is. So I'm not I'm going to have to do other things as far as like expandability of the business. My plan wasn't to sort of build a job so I can do this. I don't mind doing it. It's important for me to do it, because one of my next steps, also, by the way, and I just finished writing up the sales letter, is I'm going to offer like a turnkey, have your own SEO business. And I put lots of disclaimers. It isn't going to work magically. You'll have to do some work yourself, and it's not going to be like a ton of money for people, but that will bring in, probably through doing direct mail and offering this, I'll probably make my net by doing that, whereas I don't by doing this service, although actually it is pretty close, come to think of it now. But here's the bottom line. What I'm saying is I'm a business builder just like the rest of the Mavericks, and this is beginning stages, so I needed to actually do this, roll up my sleeves, use the systems, create the systems, if I'm going to roll it out on any scale. So one more thing is that, and again, this is cheap because I've definitely charged 5 times this before when I've offered it, and I haven't offered it for 5 years. But if anybody wants one-on-one with me, either because you want to do it yourself, your SEO, or you even want to set up your own SEO business, there's lots of business to go around. I'm not worried about it. I will help you. And what I would charge is $500 an hour, or $2,000 if you want to pre-book a 5-hour block of time where we can get on Skype, you can record it, you can ask me anything you want. I'll walk you through it. I'll show you, I'll let you know all the different ways of doing it yourself or just creating your SEO company. That will be much better than buying my business in the box that I'm going to offer, because that'll be a little bit more templated and not for you. It's really more for somebody who's just starting out. And there'll be scale there. They'll get great value, but it won't be as valuable, I think, as you talking one-on-one with me.
Excellent, Randy. Thank you so much. Extremely valuable. I loved that it was member-driven in terms of really digging into the burning questions and the subjects that people wanted to cover. So, thanks for being so agile and for your expertise, being able to just, you know, jump right in when a question was asked. Again, randy@rankmasters.com for the free course and for the discounted services. Randy, thank you so much. And also just want to let everybody know, I'm sure that you do already, but for those of you who are on the fence, Underground next week, pre-day just for Mavericks and Yonex Mastermind members on March 2nd with Dan Sullivan from Strategic Coach. Just sent out a book actually this morning from Dan to all Mavericks. Check your email, click through to that PDF. It's an awesome book. And the session with Dan on Wednesday the 2nd is going to be phenomenal. So, over 50 Mavericks on the list. The list is growing quickly. I think that there will be a lot of great connections there and certainly a lot of fun. I unfortunately won't be able to be there. Randy's in the know, and a lot of fellow Mavericks are aware as well. I have twins due literally any day now, so I'll be there in spirit, and I'm trying to convince Zawadowski to Skype me in to the charity power hour, so we'll see if that works out. Thank you, everyone, for your time today. Thanks for your questions. Fantastic session. Looking forward to next month's call and to all of our touch points and communication in between. Don't ever hesitate to email me, jake@maverickbusinessadventures.com. Shoot me a text or give me a call, 541-221-9504. And after today's call, I know that we have a lot of Mavericks out there who are going to want to connect with Randy from a lot of different perspectives, expertise in SEO, partnerships, and then certainly to take advantage of the offers that he made for us today. So thanks again for that, Randy, and thanks, everyone, for your time.